Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Daniel. That song was written in the 1600s and 16 or 1700s. There are sheets like this on the Bible reading schedule, the Bible reading schedule table. And so if you'd like to pick up one of these and take them home. Recently, I was listening to a message by a pastor who I really enjoy and I like to listen to. And he was talking about our devotions and being devoted to Christ and waking up every morning and devoting our life to Christ. And he said, in my Bible, I have written these words that I look at almost every morning. And then he quoted this. He said, these are the words and they are direct control suggest this day. All I design or do or say, that all my powers with all their might in thy sole glory may unite. And it's a precious song about just waking up and saying, God, here I am. I am a Christian. I'm devoted to you. I'm going to fulfill. And may you get glory from me and every other created thing. All right. So we are going to, this morning, we are going to talk about me and the Bible. Now, we have been working through God's walk-in closet. And if you love clothes and you're like, well, what about, when are we going to go back to that? We'll get back to that in a couple weeks. My plan is for this week and next week to really encourage you to strive in your own personal devotions for 2021. And I just wanted to remind you of things you already know, but I want to remind you and challenge you to do better and to the Bible to be part of your life. So this week, we're going to look at the Bible and your time reading the Word of God. And then next week, we're going to talk about prayer and our prayer lives. And then after that, on January 10th, we're planning on having communion, which is a beautiful time after we've talked about reading the Bible and praying to once again, in the light of the crucified, risen, and coming Savior, to rededicate our lives to Him. And so I'm looking forward to these next 3 weeks. Colossians 3:17, which we will get to eventually, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we'll get there and we'll talk about that. But that's really my desire, is that you would live in the Bible. Charles Spurgeon said, and I have a picture of him there's a cartoon picture, caricature of him that I have on my wall. And it says, read many books, but live in the Bible. And it actually has a picture of a Bible opened and him sitting in a chair and him reading a book, but he's actually living in the Bible. And the Bible should be our first priority in our life, should be our first priority to get to know God. All right, as we look back on 2020, who would have imagined? Could you have imagined? Did you pencil out 2020 in 2019 and say, this will probably happen in 2020? Wow. There's a lot of things that are outside of our control, right? Right? There are. But there are also things that are, for the most part, inside of our control. I may not be able to do much about the coronavirus, but I can do much about my heart's response to the coronavirus. I may not be able to do a lot about this or that or this or that, but I can do a lot about my Christ-likeness in those situations. And so whatever happens this next year, my challenge is to you, I don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know what's going to happen, and if you do know what's going to happen, let me know. Maybe I could be forewarned. I was even walking and thinking this morning, I thought, you know what, is this the beginning of the end? You've probably heard news about a second strain of the coronavirus that's sweeping through countries. And I thought, you know what? Is this the end? Is the coming of Christ really, really soon? So I don't know what's going to happen next year. I mean, the Lord could come back. Thank you. What could happen next year? You could have a child. You say, no, there's no possible way I could have a child next year. You say, you cross that one off the list, Pastor, for me. Your children may have a child. Your grandchildren may have children. You may get married. Your child, your grandchildren, or your great-grandchildren may get married. You could start a new job. You could get fired. You could retire. You could go back to college. You could learn a new language. You could get cancer, or you could become cancer-free. You could move to a different location. Some of you moved this past year, 2020. You could move to a different location, or someone dear could move to you. You could die. You say, well, that's a bit morbid. Why? Pastor, come on. I mean, 2020, I know 2020, there was a lot of things, but come on, you don't have to get morbid on us. But you know, folks, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, death is not really dying, is it? It's just a gateway to go be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it is the beginning of real, full, complete life in the presence of Christ. A lot of things might happen in our lives, but what we need to be concerned about is our walk with the Lord, because that's one thing that we can work on, control, and be consistent in. The terminology, your walk, is used much in the Bible. Let me throw a few references up on the screen here. I think the first one comes from Romans chapter 6, verse 4. And this is, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. What's the next one we have up there? I have lots of references, but I didn't put them all up there. Let's go to the next one. Romans 13:13-14, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I think I have, let's see, what's the next one, Ellie? Ephesians 2:10. By the way, there's a lot in Ephesians about our walk. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I think I have a few more up there. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 John 6, this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. This walk, when it's talked about in the Christian life, is our lifestyle. It's our daily waking up and living life. It's not actually talking about our physical walk, okay? It's not that literal. How many of you have ever seen Abbott Costello? Long, long time ago, okay? Back in the 40s, they were pretty popular. And, you know, they were hilarious, you know, I guess. And that's one way to describe them. But anyways, I always forget who's who, Bud Abbott and Costello. Costello's the little guy, but Abbott was, you know, the more whatever. And, you know, one time Bud said to Lou, he said, walk this way. And so he started walking, and he started walking in a peculiar way, but he went that way. And so what does Costello do? He takes it literally, and he walks behind him the same funny walk that he's walking. What this is talking about here is not a certain walk. It's not as if, well, Pastor, can you show me what that walk looks like? What's that specific gait that I'm supposed to mimic? That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about a lifestyle. It's talking about everything that we do. It's talking about our emotions and our attitudes and our actions and our words. The totality of our being. I'm so thankful that it's called a walk and not a run. There's a few places that it talks about running in the Bible, but the majority of the times it's called walking. It's a steady walk. I cannot run very far. I don't know about you. I'll lose almost every running race. But walking, I can do that. I'm so thankful that the Lord has given us a task that is doable by his grace and for his glory. So, walking in a way that pleases the Lord, and I want to first talk about our walk when it comes to our Bible, our daily consistent devotion to the Word of God. Now, this is more of a topical message, and so there will be a lot of things that come up. You can write things down. This is more of a prodding for you to be in the Word of God, to give you some helps. Concerning our Bible intake, concerning our reading of the Bible, this comes from Donald Whitney, Spiritual Discipline of the Christian Life. This will come up on your screen, a quote, no spiritual discipline is more important than the intake of God's word. Nothing can substitute for it. There is simply no healthy Christian life apart from a diet of the milk and meat of Scripture. If you want to be a healthy Christian, you need to be a Bible-reading Christian, period. If you think that you can be Christ-honoring in your life and actions and not actively, consistently engage with God's word, you're wrong. You will shrivel up and die spiritually. And if you want to figure out how that works, just don't eat for a week. And then tell me how you're doing physically. And I'll say to you, and that's how your soul is doing spiritually when you do not feast on the word of God. Now, here's the thing. Our physical appearance is different than our spiritual appearance, right? This Christmas week has been great. There's been a lot of things to eat. Right? And I mean, since we're not really going places, what are we doing? We're staying inside and we're eating. And since it's cold outside, what are we doing? We're staying inside and eating. And so for a week of eating, that can drastically change your physical appearance. You can be a little bit more jolly than you maybe were before. You know, your belly laugh may be a little bit deeper than it was before. But it is true with our spiritual life as well. You may not notice it, but others do. When you spend a week without the Word of God or interacting with the Word of God, you become short. You become grumpy. Your attitudes fluctuate. You become unsure in your footsteps. You become more worried. But when you feast on the Word of God for a week, you are sure and confident in your sovereign God. You are at peace with Him. You are filled with joy, and you quickly communicate the Word of God to others. You may not realize it, but we can perceive when our souls, when we can perceive one another's souls, we should even be able to perceive our own souls when they are spiritually starving. One thing as a pastor, there's many secrets that pastors have, and I shouldn't tell you secrets because then you'll know them. You know, it's like my children. I don't want to tell you the telltale signs that I know when you're doing something that's wrong, because then you'll know, and then you'll know how to, you know, deceive me even better. But as a pastor, just because I've been around people for a long time or a time in ministry, I can tell when people are in the Word and I can tell when people are not in the Word. It's readily available, readily apparent. No matter how busy we may become with all things Christian, we must remember that the most transforming practice available to us is the disciplined intake of Scripture. We must have Scripture intake. You know, you say, well, I am singing songs. Great. And I am watching messages on TV. Great. And I am listening to good Christian music and so on and so forth. Great. But you need to read the Bible. There's no substitute. Let me give you a few reasons why we need to read the Bible. First of all, reading the Bible brings a blessing. And you can turn to Psalm chapter 19. Reading the Word of God brings a blessing. Remember the personable, intimate nature of our God, that He loves to know us, and He loves for us to know Him. And when you read His book to us, it is a great delight to Him to see you reading His word. And now Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, the law of the Lord, this is all talking about Scripture, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. You see, the word of God, I mean, it makes wise the simple. You were warned by the word of God, and in keeping them there's great reward. There's blessing in reading the word of God. There's a couple other references up there, Luke 11:28. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. There's a blessing that comes with reading the word of God. I think there's a blessing that comes with just reading the word of God, period. And that's one of the reasons why we read it here at church. When you come to church, you may not have read the Bible all week long, but you come here and we'll read the Bible so you'll get a blessing. But it's also a blessing because of what it does for us and in us. Not only does it bring us a blessing, the Bible builds us up. There's a couple different scripture references I have here. You're in Psalm 19. Why don't you go back to Psalm 1? I know it'll be up there on the screen, but that's cheating. So take your Bible and go to Psalm 1. Nobody should be complaining about a little finger exercises after the Christmas holidays, right? Psalm 1, it says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a what? A tree. The word of God builds us up. It builds us up to be what we should be. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How did you come to know that you needed a savior? Through the word of God. And how do you come to depend more and more upon that savior? Through the word of God. The word of God builds us up. Jude wrote to a people, he says, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And then at the very end of it, he says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. How are they able to do that? They're able to do that through the word of God. So the word of God brings a blessing, but the word of God also builds us up. And then here's the third thing. The word of God produces holiness in us. You're in Psalm 1. Now you can go to Psalm 119, which we read earlier. Verses 9 through 11. And I know you could have probably quoted verse 11 of Psalm 119. It produces in us holiness, a separation from the world and a separation to God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word of God produces holiness in us. Now, if you're looking at these and you're saying, well, it brings a blessing, builds us up, produces holiness, aren't those basically all the same thing? Yes, they are, okay? It's just saying the same thing three different ways. The word of God works in us a Christ-likeness. But then let me give you one more reference, and this is in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you can turn there. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Because here's the last thing. What does the reading of the Bible do? It completes the Christian. It completes the Christian. 2 Timothy, once again, 3:16-17, you probably know this one as well. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you know that all of scripture was given by God? And when Paul is talking about all of scripture, he's talking about the Old Testament, right? Because a lot of the New Testament hasn't been written yet, or it's not all bound together. And so when he's talking about all scripture, but it can be applied to the New Testament as well. Everything that we have here is from God. And an amazing study, and I love this, is the preservation of the Word of God. How do I know today that what I have in my hands over the course of so many years is what God intended for me to have? The doctrine of preservation of Scripture, amazing. Absolutely amazing. Anyways, we get in that all day long because I love that we won't, okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by God, and guess what? All Scripture is for us, and Scripture completes us. Everything we need to live a godly life is found in here. You don't need to add any other books. You know, it's not like, well, I've got the Bible, but I need some self-help books. No. Here's the Word of God. Everything is in here that we need. It has come from God. It is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching. Heresy is prevalent. Ignorance is probably even more prevalent. Here is truth. Here is teaching. It's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for reproof or rebuking. Shows us where we have failed. Shows us our mistakes. Profitable for correction. Gets us back on the right path. And is profitable for instruction in righteousness. It leads us to a holy life so that we may be complete. So we may be perfect, thoroughly equipped, ready for every good work. Let me tell you a tragedy. When a Christian is not ready to do the work of God. Some Christians fear evangelizing, fear witnessing. And one of the common things is, well, I won't know what to say. What if they ask me this question? And what if they ask me that question? But what does it say here? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You will be overqualified to witness if you're attending to the Word of God. You won't lack. And the same is true for your relationships, for raising your children. I mean, the list goes on and on. We have everything we need here within the Word of God. So here's my questions for you concerning 2020 and 2021, moving on as we're evaluating a little bit. So here's the practical application / conclusion, okay? Bible reading in 2020. How often did you read your Bible? These are rhetorical questions. I'm not asking for you to say, well, here, Pastor, let me tell you my story, okay? How often did you read the Bible? Someone remarked that the worst dust storm in history would happen if all church members who were neglecting their Bibles dust them off simultaneously. How often do you read your Bible? Let me just say, you say, well, what's the magic formula, Pastor? Well, I'm not into legalism, okay? I'm not going to say, hey, you've got to read this much to be godly. But I'll tell you, and you know this, if you're in a relationship and you don't talk to the person for a whole day in that relationship, it's not helpful to the relationship. Right? Married couples, right? If you go a whole day without talking to your spouse, it doesn't help your relationship. It doesn't grow your relationship. Now, it may not necessarily hurt it, but if you do that day in and day out, I'm a big proponent of reading the Bible every day. I don't think it's that hard. We should be doing it. I think we have time. No matter how busy you are, you have time. How much of the Bible did you read in 2020? How much did you get through? Are you a fast reader? Are you a slow reader? Did you read for depth or did you read for breadth? You know, was it I'm trying to read all of God's word, or like I'm just really trying to read a certain book? How much of God's word did you read? Can you imagine? And I've been promoting reading through the Word of God. I think we should do it at least once in our lifetime. At least once. It was a blessing. A couple weeks ago, we had a couple here and a man who's been saved for 13 years. And he's read the Bible every year. Read it 13 times. I was like, that's where we should be. But I think it would be a shame if you get to heaven and if God were to ask the question, well, how did you like my word? How did you like the Bible? Well, you know, I got through a few books. I never finished the whole thing. I think it says something about our love to read the entirety of the Word of God. How much of the Bible did you read? What was your plan in reading the Bible? Okay, well, what was your plan? Did you say, well, let's see where it opens today? Okay, that's what I'll read today. Ecclesiastes 3, that's what I'll read today. Very familiar passage, very popular passage. I don't know if you recognize this, but if I'm right, I think it was President-elect Joe Biden who quoted it, Ecclesiastes 3, in his acceptance speech. Do you just flip open the Bible, hey, wherever it lands, that's where I'm going to read? Or are you more systematic, which I would tend to say you should be more systematic, not haphazard like that. What was your plan for reading the Bible? Do you have a Bible reading schedule? We'll talk about that in just a minute. You know, in the front of your Bible, you have a table of contents with all the books of the Bible. You could just cross off ones that you've read. Now, careful, someone may get a hold of your Bible and say, what's the matter with this book? Why'd you cross it off? And here's a great question that I love to ask. How planned was your Bible reading? That's a very important question, close to the other one. I think that we have to have a plan for when and where and how we're going to read the Bible. I don't think we can just say, you know what, if I can somehow fit it into my day passively and it works out, I'll read the Bible. I think we're too busy for that. It has to be a priority. I have to make a plan. I'm going to read it at such and such a time, at such and such a place. We got to make good plans for our relationship with the Lord to build up that relationship. We don't do it haphazardly. You know, there's things in life that you can do haphazardly and you can get away with it. And there's things in life you should not do haphazardly. When we got engaged, Hannah and I planned it out to the detail. I mean, I had this and this and this, and then we were going to have this dinner, and we were going to have candles everywhere, and then I was going to pull out the ring and all of this, and she said it was magic. She's like, where did that come from? I planned it all, because it was really important to me. I wanted to make sure it happened right. I wanted to make sure it was special. How planned is your, or was your Bible reading? Well, as you ask those questions, you should be able to assimilate, I did okay, I did pretty good, or I didn't do well at all. So now comes the 2021, which is going to happen in a few days, probably. We're probably going to make it to 2021. But how are you going to change? How are you going to do better? Let me give you a few suggestions, goals. How often are you going to try and read your Bible? Would you say before the Lord today that, Lord, you know, I'm going to try and read your word every day? Would you say that to him? Would you say, Lord, I love you enough and I need you this much that I'm going to read your word every day? I'm going to make it a priority in my life. D.L. Moody said, a man can no more take in a supply of grace for the future than he can eat enough for the next 6 months, or take sufficient air into his lungs at one time to sustain him for a week. We must draw upon God's boundless store of grace from day to day as we need it. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace every day. And I need God's wisdom every day. How often are you going to try and read your Bible in 2021? What's your resolve here? How much of the Bible are you going to try and read? It depends on what kind of reader you are. It depends on where you are in life. But maybe, and this is not unrealistic, you would be able to say, you know what, I'm going to try and read all of the Bible next year. One person said, if you read 15 minutes a day, you'll get through the Bible an entire year. And I think you'll have some time to spare. Now, I don't care if you read a Bible in a year, because you get no extra points. Okay, you can't come back here next year in December and say, Pastor, I read my Bible in the whole year. What do I get? Where's my brownie points? What kind of heavenly credits do I get? That's not the point. The point is for it to become part of your life, become part of your discipline, so that you read through it in a year. And do you know what would be wonderful? If you would be found reading it more than that, simply because you loved it and simply because you loved the Lord. But even if it takes you 2 years, even if it takes you 3 years, read through the Word of God. We have Bible reading schedules, and they're very similar from year to year. And one of the things you can do is you can get a new one, take your old one if you've been working on it, mark in one pen color what you did last year, put on the top 2020 in this pen color, and then start 2021 with another pen color. And keep track. Well, I did this much in 2020, and I did this much in 2021. You don't need to start again. Like, Pastor, I just got past Leviticus. Do I have to start in Genesis again? I mean, I'm never going to make it. What is going to be your reading plan? I would really encourage you to pick up a Bible reading plan. They're on the table back there. You can look over them. There's lots of different ones. There's a chronological one. There's one just Psalms and Proverbs. There's one that's just New Testament. Key chapters of the Bible, Old Testament. And there's several different ones. Encourage you to pick one up. Take several. I can print more. It's not hard for me to print them. So if you're like, well, I'm not sure. Pick one. I mean, take several and just take them home. I mean, you only have a couple days to figure this out. By the way, you do not need to start on January 1st. Let me give you a little insider tip that will help you when you come to the end of the year. If you start now, you'll be a few days ahead. So that when you come to the end of the year, and inevitably you're a few days behind, you will thank me. Get a plan. Make a plan. Make a plan not only of how you're going to read the Bible or your schedule of it, but also the when and the where and the why. This will have a great impact on your success in reading the Word of God. You know, if we don't plan for things, they'll get pushed aside. You know that. If you don't plan to clean your house, it might not happen until it's filthy. And so find a quiet place. Find a quiet time. Your best time. Give the Lord your best time when your mind is working the best. It may not be in the morning. It may be somewhere in the afternoon. It may be in the evening. It may not be in the evening. Give the Lord a good time in your life. Try and put away distractions. You may have kids. You may have a husband. You may have a wife. They may be distractions to you. You say, I got to get alone. It's one of the reasons why I love waking up in the morning before everybody else. Put your phone away. Put your computer away. I love digital Bibles. Okay, I'm not preaching against digital Bibles. They have their place and it's great, but it's a little bit too convenient to be distracted on a digital Bible. It's really hard to focus. You know, maybe you need some coffee or tea, pen and paper. What's going to be your Bible reading for 2021? Before the Lord. And I would really encourage you as you go home today, make some commitments before the Lord. Lord, this is what I'm going to try and do. Here's my plan for 2021 with your word. Here's three things that will help you. One, Bible reading schedule. They're on the table back there. And so if you have any questions about any of those, you can talk to me. If anybody's at home listening and you say, well, how do I get one? Just talk to me. Just ask me, contact me, and I will get you one. I'll bring you several. Another thing to have is a Bible. That's kind of helpful when you're trying to, you know, so you get a Bible reading schedule and you get a Bible. And I love getting new Bibles. I just fun to have Bibles. Get a good Bible. You know, read through a different version. I mean, just, you know, or maybe you have one that you've had on the household. Maybe you have one that's your grandparents. Read through that. You might find some notes that you never knew were in there. Read through. Just pick a Bible. Find a Bible. And next week, Lord willing, no promises, but maybe, on the back table with the Bible reading schedules, I'll have some pens, some special pens for marking up your Bible and writing your Bible, if you'd like to do that. And you can pick some of those up. And the last thing is to have an accountability partner. All right? So grab someone else and say, hey, listen, I'm going to read through the Bible. Can you do it with me? Can we keep each other accountable? Maybe you see someone picking up the same schedule. You say, hey, I'm doing that one too. Let's read together. And keep each other on track. Listen, I can stand up here all day long and tell you to read your Bible. But listen, there's too many of you for me to keep track of you all. We can slip through the cracks, can't we? I mean, you could go most of 2021 without reading your Bible, and I may not know it directly. But it will impact your life. It will. It will impact your relationships. It will impact your walk with the Lord. So this is something that you must do. Your own heart, your own soul, you must commit before the Lord. Lord, I'm going to do this because I need you and I love you. And I want to walk before you. William Carey, one of our books of the year was the biography of William Carey. Absolutely amazing. He translated so many languages from India into the Word of God into so many languages. And when he was coming to his last days, he was getting ready to die, and it was observed of him that the final weeks were neither raptures nor fears, but that which accorded more with his life's steadfast evenness, a tranquil trust in his crucified and glorified Savior. John Mack, one of the people who watched him, could say that respecting the great change before him, not a shadow of anxiety had crossed his mind since the beginning of his illness. And then he said this, by the labor of over 30 New Testament translations into Indian languages, he had woven its triumphant affirmations into the very texture of his soul. He rested his sin-stained soul as on the several earlier occasions when he thought he had come to his crossing on his atoning Redeemer, and testified with thankfulness that there he, as ever, found his peace. May that be said of us, that we read the Word of God so much that it was woven into the texture of our souls. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Word. It is so precious. But Father, the preciousness of your Word is not just having it, but knowing it. And Father, not just knowing the words themselves, but knowing you, the author of these words. This is your wisdom. This is your Word. So let us be a people of the Bible. Let us be reading it constantly and consistently. Let us plan to get through it. Let us pray over and dig down into it. Let us contemplate it and meditate on it. And Father, by your grace and for your glory, may it be woven into the texture of our soul. May the Bible become part of us. Father, forgive us for 2020. I think we could have done better. Now maybe you're pleased. Maybe we did better this year, and I rejoice in that. Maybe there's some sitting here, maybe many sitting here this morning, that they would say of 2020, they did a better job reading your Word, and it became more a part of them, and I rejoice in that. But Father, if we truly love you, there should be a desire in all of your children to read your Word more this next year. And may it be so of us. Father, thank you for your gentle reminders. Thank you for not giving up on us. We don't know what 2021 holds, but we are confident that you, our sovereign God, will hold on to us no matter what may come and go. And according to the promises of your Word, Father, you will work in our lives all things for good and ultimately for your glory. We may not be able to always see that or perceive it, but you have said it, and so it is true. Let our hearts rest in that. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to have Daniel come and lead us in our last song, which is the one we learned in December. All glory be to Christ.